Today is Monday, Christmas Day, December 25th, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Steve Miller in Washington. Coming up, Pakistan allowed the wife and mother of a convicted Indian spy to meet with him.
Pakistan decided to permit the meeting of the wife of Commander Yadav.
Also ahead, North Korea responds to the latest United Nations sanctions. And yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus. It's all ahead on today's International Edition. Pakistan allowed the wife and mother of convicted Indian spy Kulbhushan Yadav to meet with him on Monday. Pakistan Foreign Ministry spokesman Mohammad Faisal detailed India's request.
Pakistan decided to permit the meeting of the wife of Commander Yadav with him purely on humanitarian grounds. Ye pehla faisla tha. The Indian side subsequently requested that the mother may be allowed to accompany the wife. Pakistan has accepted the Indian request.
The meeting took place at the Foreign Ministry shortly after Yadav's family members landed in Islamabad. The Indian Deputy High Commissioner was also allowed to accompany the visitors during the interaction. Extremely tight security arrangements were established in and around the complex housing the ministry, with mobile phone signal jammers also activated to deter subversive acts. This was Yadav's first meeting with his family since he was captured in March 2016 for entering Pakistan on a fake identity as well as fake travel documents. A military court later tried and sentenced him to death in April of this year, ruling the serving Indian Navy officer was found guilty of espionage and terrorism against Pakistan. Indian says Yadav is a former naval officer but rejects the charges against him as baseless, saying he has no connection with the government. Pakistani officials insist Yadav has confessed before the country's military court that he was tasked by the Indian intelligence agency to plan, coordinate, and organize espionage, terrorist, and sabotage activities against Pakistan. New Delhi asked the International Court of Justice in May to stop Islamabad from executing Yadav, arguing he was denied diplomatic assistance during what India called an unfair trial. The court suspended the execution pending final judgment. Pakistan rejected India's assertions while submitting its reply to the ICJ earlier this month. Islamabad defended its stance of not granting diplomatic access to Yadav, insisting he was a serving officer of the Indian Navy and has confessed to his crime before a competent authority. Yadav has filed an appeal with Pakistan's army chief, General Kamar Jadav Bajwa, to seek clemency, which is still pending. Yadav can also ask for a presidential pardon within 90 days if Bajwa turns down his mercy petition. John Hyland reports that North Korea has called the latest round of United Nations sanctions against it an act of war and tantamount to a complete economic blockade.
North Korea described the latest UN sanctions against it as an act of war on Sunday, saying it was tantamount to a complete economic blockade. In a statement, the country's foreign ministry threatened to punish those who supported the measure. The UN Security Council unanimously imposed new sanctions on Pyongyang on Friday, following its recent intercontinental ballistic missile test. The measures seek to limit the country's access to refined petroleum products and crude oil, with a near 90% ban. The UN also wants to curb earnings from abroad, with a demand for the repatriation of North Korean workers within 24 months. The US-drafted resolution, supported by longtime Pyongyang allies Russia and China, commits the Security Council to further sanctions if there's another nuclear test or ballistic missile launch. In November, North Korean leader Kim Jong-un declared the nuclear force complete after the test of the isolated nation's largest ever missile, which it said puts all of the United States within range. It denies its nuclear program is in contradiction of international law, but rather a self-defensive deterrence. The latest statement described Washington as getting, quote, more and more frenzied in moves to impose the harshest ever sanctions and pressure on the country.
That was reporter John Hyland. Russia's RIA news agency reports that Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov called for the United States and North Korea to start negotiations on Monday. Both China and Russia have called for a so-called dual suspension or freeze-for-freeze option, which would call for the freezing of joint U.S. and South Korea military exercises while North Korea freezes its testing. Speaking at the United Nations earlier in December, U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson responded to that suggestion.
We do not accept a freeze for freeze as a precondition to talks. We do not accept any relaxing of the sanctions regime as a precondition of talks. We do not accept the resumption of humanitarian assistance as a precondition of talks. So we are not going to accept preconditions for these talks. But as I indicated in my remarks, our communication channels remain open. North Korea knows they're open. They know where the door is. They know where to walk through that door when they want to talk.
Secretary Tillerson also said that North Korea's growing nuclear capabilities are a direct threat to the United States and that Washington will use all necessary measures to defend itself against such aggression. Here are some additional leading stories from around the globe. Authorities in Vietnam prepared to move 1 million people from low-lying areas along the south coast as Typhoon Tembin approached after it battered the Philippines with floods and landslides that killed more than 230 people. Russia's Central Election Commission voted on Monday to bar opposition leader Alexei Navalny from running in next year's presidential election, saying he was ineligible because of past criminal conviction. Navalny says he'll appeal. And Peru's president has granted a medical pardon to jailed former authoritarian leader Alberto Fujimori. He was serving a 25-year sentence for human rights abuses and corruption. For in-depth coverage to these stories and more 24 hours a day, point your web browser to voanews.com. This is VOA.
This is Science in a Minute.
If you're living with mental health conditions such as anxiety or depression, a study published in the British Medical Journal suggests singing with a vocal group or choir can help make you happier. Researchers from England's University of East Anglia say they found that those who participate in community singing were able to improve or at least maintain their mental health. They found that the combination of singing and socializing with a group of people can play an important role in recovering from anxiety and depression because it boosts feelings of belonging and well-being. The researchers spent 6 months interviewing and conducting focus groups with participants of the Sing Your Heart Project, a Norfolk County, England-based organization that provides group singing sessions and other social events. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
From the Voice of America, this is International Edition. I'm Steve Miller. Aid agencies report thousands of people in conflict-ridden Ukraine face a bleak Christmas and New Year because of freezing temperatures and shortages of essential goods. Lisa Schlein reports from Geneva.
Temperatures in Ukraine can plummet to minus 20 degrees Celsius in January. People throughout the country are suffering. But those living in territory held by Russian-backed rebels in eastern Ukraine are most affected by the shortages brought on by nearly 4 years of war. The UN Refugee Agency reports thousands of people displaced by conflict from their homes in the regions of Donetsk and Luhansk are having a tough time surviving. The situation is particularly difficult, it says, for people living near the contact line separating the government and rebel-controlled areas. UNHCR spokesman Andrei Mahechik says houses are frequently damaged by shelling. He says infrastructure is degraded and transport is bad, making it difficult for people to collect benefits, food, and medicine.
In some villages, the infrastructure, such as gas pipes, have been damaged by shelling, and as a result, coal and firewood represent some sole means of heating the homes. Our staff report that the people are often forced to make choices between essentially buying food and medicines of fuel to heat their homes.
The UNHCR is providing aid to 15,300 of the most vulnerable people, including single parents, the elderly, families with many children, and people with disabilities or chronic illnesses. Most of the recipients are in the eastern non-government-controlled areas where the situation is particularly critical. The UNHCR is stepping up the distribution of clothes, warm jackets, and boots, call for heating and cash grants to cover winter expenses. In government-controlled areas, the agency's aid consists of unconditional cash grants to 1,000 households and winter jackets to more than 4,700 children. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Guatemala's president announced on Christmas Eve that the Central American country will move its embassy in Israel to Jerusalem, becoming the first nation to follow the lead of U.S. President Donald Trump in ordering the change. Guatemala was one of nine nations that voted with the United States and Israel last Thursday when the United Nations General Assembly overwhelmingly adopted a non-binding resolution denouncing Trump's recognition of Jerusalem as Israel's capital. Trump didn't set any timetable for moving the U.S. embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, and neither did Guatemalan President Jimmy Morales. In a post on his official Facebook account Sunday, Morales said that after talks with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, he decided to instruct Guatemala's foreign ministry to move the embassy. Israeli Foreign Ministry spokesman Emmanuel Nashon praised the move.
We believe that this is an important sign of friendship. And a country such as Guatemala, which has been a friend of Israel for many, many years, is clearly in a position to show that Jerusalem is the capital of the state of Israel.
Guatemala and Israel have long had close ties, especially in security matters and Israeli arms sales to Guatemala. No other country has their embassy for Israel in Jerusalem, though the Czech Republic has said it is considering such a move. As Christians around the world celebrate the birth of Jesus, Pope Francis spoke to crowds gathered in the Vatican City's St. Peter Square. He said, today, as the winds of war are blowing in our world and an outdated model of development continues to produce human, societal, and environmental decline, Christmas invites us to focus on the sign of the child.
Il Natale ci richiama al segno del bambino.
Pope Francis also told the faithful that the winds of war are blowing in our world and an outdated model of development continues to produce human, societal, and environmental decline. In his traditional Christmas message and blessing, the pontiff said the children in the Middle East continue to suffer because of growing tension between Israeli and Palestinians, while Syria remains marked by war and ongoing conflict in Yemen has been largely forgotten. He offered a prayer that confrontation may be overcome on the Korean Peninsula.
La nascita di Cristo Salvatore rinnova i cuori.
Pope Francis closed by blessing those assembled, wishing for renewed hearts and an awakened desire to build a future of greater fraternity and solidarity and bring joy and hope to everyone. This is VOA.
Hi, this is Lori London. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts. Every hour, on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's Newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
The holiday season was a magical time for Virginia O'Hanlon. Born in 1889, she loved the decorations, the food, and the music. But most of all, she loved Santa Claus. When she was eight, one of her friends told her there was no Santa Claus. She waited for her father to come home and asked him if that was true. In Virginia's house, the New York Sun newspaper was an authoritative publication. Her father would say, if you see it in the Sun, it is so. So she wrote a letter to the editor of the Sun. Frances Church was a war correspondent during the American Civil War. Now one of the New York Sun's editors, he took Virginia's simple question and wrote what is now considered a literary masterpiece.
Virginia, your little friends are wrong. They have been affected by the skepticism of a skeptical age. They think that nothing can be which is not comprehensible by their little minds. They do not believe what they see. All minds, Virginia, whether they be men's or children's, are little. In this great universe of ours, man is a mere insect, an ant in his intellect, compared with the boundless worlds about him, as measured by the intelligence capable of grasping the whole truth and knowledge. Yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus. He exists as certainly as love and generosity and devotion exist. And you know that they abound and give to your life its highest beauty and joy. Alas, how dreary the world would be if there were no Santa Claus. Why, it would be as dreary as if there were no Virginias. There would be no childlike faith then, no poetry, no romance, to make tolerable this existence. We should have no enjoyment except in sense and sight. The eternal light with which childhood fills the world would then be extinguished. Not to believe in Santa Claus? Well, you might as well not believe in fairies. You might get your papa to hire men to watch all the chimneys on Christmas Eve to catch Santa Claus. But even if they did not see Santa Claus coming down, what would that prove? Not everybody sees Santa Claus. The most real things in the world are those that neither children nor men see. Did you ever see fairies dancing on the lawn? Of course not. But that's no proof that they are not there. No one can conceive or imagine all the things that are unseen or unseeable in the world. You may tear apart a baby's rattle and see what makes the noise inside. But there is a veil covering the unseen world that not the strongest man, not even the united strength of all the strongest men that ever lived, could tear apart. Only faith, fancy, poetry, love, romance can push aside that curtain and view and picture the supernal beauty and glory beyond. It is all real. Ah, Virginia, in all the world, there is nothing else real and abiding. No Santa Claus. Thank God he lives. And he lives forever. 1,000 years from now, Virginia, nay, 10,000 years from now, he will continue to make glad the hearts of children.
Virginia O'Hanlon died in 1971. Thanks to the words of Frances Church, she never stopped believing in Santa Claus. Years after that famous editorial was published, it continues to resonate in the hearts of children young and old. I'm Jim Bertel, VOA News.
Ah, yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus. You know, there is another iconic image of Christmas, and that is, of course, the Christmas tree. And, you know, public displays of the Christmas tree date back to the middle of the 19th century in England, where Queen Victoria and Prince Albert began the tradition of public Christmas trees as a way of spreading holiday cheer, because a lot of people couldn't afford to have their own tree indoors. And a lot of times, these public trees are continued to be displayed by cities and municipalities around the world, and sometimes they look extravagant and fantastic, and, well, other times, they don't. And when people don't see Christmas trees put up by cities they like today, they take to social media and post images of them online. And a few of them are in the Great Britain area and in Manchester, England. Some people have taken a picture and posted online of a tree that, well, doesn't look all that nice. It looks wilted, has very few ornaments, and is sagging as if it was extremely wilting from heat. And some people have labeled a tree in Ottery St. Mary Davon as the worst tree in Britain because it doesn't have a lot of branches, very few ornaments. And one online poster said it looked like a lopsided skeleton after the cats had been climbing all over it. But there is another tree, and this comes from my home state of Arizona, and this is called the I-17 Mystery Tree because it's located on Interstate 17, halfway between Flagstaff and Phoenix, Arizona. And for the past 30 years or so, someone's mysteriously decorated it. No one knows who is decorating it, but every year it appears magically in December, fully decorated. And you know what? That is going to do it for today's edition of International Edition. I'd like to thank you for spending part of your holiday with me. And a huge thank you to Skip Sisk for running the board and engineering the broadcast. For stories, pictures, videos, and more, be sure to follow The Voice of America on social media. You'll find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I'm Steve Miller in Washington. Have an absolutely fantastic day.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Secretary of State Rex Tillerson affirmed in remarks to the United Nations Security Council that the greatest threat to the security of the United States and the international community remains the North Korean regime. North Korea's growing capabilities reflect a direct threat to our security and the security of the entire world, he said. The Security Council has taken a leading role in condemning North Korea's unlawful nuclear and missile programs and imposing consequences. Secretary Tillerson urged each UN member state to fully implement all existing UN Security Council resolutions. For countries who have not taken action, said Secretary Tillerson, I urge you to consider your interests, your allegiances, and your values in the face of this grave and global threat. The United States believes more must be done to rein in North Korea. Last spring, the United States initiated economic and diplomatic sanctions with the intent of pressuring the regime to engage in serious negotiations toward the complete abandonment of its nuclear weapons programs. Over the past year, many allies and partners of the United States have joined in these efforts. We ask these nations to continue to increase pressure through unilateral action, said Secretary Tillerson. Doing so will further isolate North Korea politically and economically, cutting off support for its nuclear weapons program. Secretary Tillerson particularly called on Russia and China to increase pressure on North Korea. Russia has continued to allow North Korean laborers to toil in slave-like conditions inside Russia in exchange for wages used to fund North Korea's nuclear weapons programs. Similarly, Chinese crude oil continues to flow to North Korean refineries. North Korea has a choice, said Mr. Tillerson. It can reverse course, give up its unlawful nuclear weapons program, and join the community of nations, or it can continue to condemn its people to poverty and isolation. Secretary Tillerson reaffirmed that all options remain on the table in the defense of our nation, but he added, "Our hope remains that diplomacy will produce a resolution." The U.S. will continue to hold North Korea accountable for its reckless and threatening behavior. Secretary Tillerson said, "We ask all to join a unified effort to achieve a complete and verifiable denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula."
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.